across the city, New Yorkers are being forced to downsize their lives in a variety of ways because of the recession. A group of Columbia Journalism School students were inspired to tell the stories of these average and not-so-average New Yorkers, and they have launched a website as their final production for their video storytelling class. It's called DownsizeNYC.com. I'm very pleased to have Columbia Journalism student Devin Dwyer here with me, as well as John Walters and Zhang Min, whose stories are featured on DownsizeNYC.com. Welcome to our show.
Thanks, Leonard.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, Devin, I'm not going to mention the name of the site again, at least not this soon, but it's the final product of your video storytelling class at Columbia. How did you and your classmates come up with the idea for this project?
Well, you know, since coming to journalism school this fall, Leonard, the economy, the story of the economy just kind of exploded. It's become kind of the story of our experience. And my classmates and I really thought, you know, with all the talk about mortgages and the finance industry and TARP and bailouts, we kind of wanted to explore kind of that everyday New Yorker, the experience of the everyday New Yorker, and that's kind of where this went.
And hoping to make some money. This is a .com, not a .org.
It is
not a
.com.
.edu.
Right. It's not a for-profit site. It's run and hosted by the Journalism School, Columbia Journalism School.
Well, how did your classmates and you go about producing this site? Is this the kind of project people work on at journalism school these days?
Well, it is now. It kind of represents that integration of all media, you know, online, which is the way the industry is moving. And at Columbia, I mean, this is the type of project. It's a website that has print pieces on it. It's got great reporting, great storytelling, videos shot, produced, edited by students. And so we fanned out across the city to find some stories that we didn't really think have been heard in the mainstream media.
And one of the people featured on DownsizeNYC.com is John Walters. John, welcome
yes.
to our show.
Thank you.
Tell me about your career before the recession affected it.
Well, I was a writer at Sports Illustrated for 14 years, and then I left in 2006 to join NBCSports.com, where I was a columnist, and I appeared on air via the web, and I also wrote for on-air talent at the Olympics.
So you actually were making the wise move. You were getting into the new media rather than sticking with the old one that
That's
many people are predicting will die.
Well, it was interesting. I was writing for the website at Sports Illustrated as well at the end, but I just got a better offer from NBC Sports, and they wanted to launch a new website. But as you probably know, NBC is an affiliate or subsidiary of General Electric. And as Devin said, I mean, I was watching the news in September and when Lehman Brothers folded, and all of a sudden everyone's stock prices went down. And we live in a world now where no matter I helped, you know, I was an associate producer at the Olympics, which was the most watched television event in the history of television. So we did a pretty good job. But General Electric stock price fell from about $38 to $5.
But sports are a profit maker for television and newspapers.
That's right. But again, going back, General Electric was losing money, and so everyone has to suffer.
And so you were fired in February?
I was laid off in February along with four other employees.
And you can remember the day. What did they tell you?
Well, the date was February 11th. I remember that quite well. I think most people who've ever been laid off can tell you the date they were laid off. They gave me the classic, we're going in a different direction. Maybe that direction's down. I don't know. But obviously, I wasn't part of their plans for the immediate future.
My guests are John Walters and Zhang Min, two people who have found new jobs as a result of the economic downturn. Also with us is Devin. Devin, I've suddenly lost your name. Devin Dwyer, who is part of a Columbia journalism program that has created a website called DownsizeNYC.com. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. So I'm sure you look for other jobs in the journalism field.
Honestly, I didn't, because all in the immediate aftermath, a lot of people I knew were losing jobs. Everyone was cutting. And I just sort of felt like I want to take a step back for a second and not play this game at the moment. I think we're
But you're an Emmy Award, at least Emmy nominated.
No, well, I've won two sports Emmys as part of NBC's production of the Olympics, and I actually was nominated for another from the Torino Games.
That doesn't count at all in the business anymore.
Well, that's what I'd like to know. But I'm not going, to pound my fist about it. I just thought at the time I needed a break. And I don't mean to take over your next question, but I decided to try something different. And
take it over.
Well, I live very close to a popular outdoor cafe here in New York City called the Boat Basin Cafe. And I thought, you know what? I just want to go to work every day and not deal with conference calls and do a job where I was talking to Devin about this outside. When you're a sports writer, you go see people that you need to work with, and they don't want to see you many times. Ask Alex Rodriguez. But when you're a waiter and you approach a table, they're thrilled to see you.
That may be, but I don't know if you saw the article in yesterday's Times about the problems that restaurants are going through right now.
There is no recession at the Boat Basin Cafe, let me tell you. If the weather is above 70 degrees and it's sunny, we can't handle the business that we're getting. It's amazing when you see it.
So what do you think you'll be doing in 10 years from now? Will you be a waiter?
I've stopped worrying about those. I think those questions are – people who answer those questions earnestly – I don't know if they quite have lived enough, because no one knows what they're going to be doing 10 years from now. And I just try my hardest to do whatever job I'm doing the best that I can.
What about you, Jung? You didn't change careers.
No. After college, about 6 years ago when I graduated, I became part of the, I guess, underground economy. And I just worked at my family's grocery store for the last 6 years and stuff. So I didn't have a chance to get a job or another job opportunity due to my status.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born?
I was born in Seoul, South Korea, 1980.
And how old were you when you came here?
I came to the United States when I was about 1.5, so back in 1981.
That's why you have a perfect American accent.
Thank you.
1.5, and your family came here for economic reasons?
Well, my father wanted to study, and I think he landed in Tennessee to study at college as an international student, and they never left. And so what happened is that I grew up here just like any American kid, and now I'm 29, so I'm at the far end of this DREAM Act scale. The DREAM Act is a development relief and education of alien minors. It's a bill in Congress that would allow young kids who had come here with their parents but had no choice to stay, and they were educated and raised here. And so this bill would help them actually become a legal resident.
Because if you had been born here, you would automatically be an American citizen, but you were a year and a half old, so you're an illegal alien?
Well, yes. I prefer.
And if your parents become citizens, you would still be an illegal alien?
Well, I believe, I'm not exactly sure about immigration laws, but if my parents were citizens, then they could sponsor me to become a citizen one day. And so that's how it works. But since my parents' visa status expired, so did mine. And so that's what happens. About 40% of undocumented aliens, they come through the visas, and the other people cross the border.
What does that mean when you're looking for a job?
That means I can't really get a job using my degree or anything. I mean,
what is your degree in?
My degree is in sociology with criminal justice, mm-hmm. concentration in criminal justice, and I have a minor in psychology too.
So this is a weird thing where you can go to a good school, but then you can't take advantage of the education.
That's right.
They expect you to go back to Korea and apply what you learned about the American criminal system?
I guess some people do, but hopefully that more the majority of Americans, they approve of this bill, and that they would put kids like me, students and young adults, on a pathway to citizenship so we can actually give back to America. And my personal dream and goal is to be a federal judge, and so it doesn't make sense to keep just working at a grocery store till my late 20s, early 30s, and so I want to actually go back to school and have a pathway and have a goal and have a dream, hence the title Dream Act, of becoming something else than this.
But is it likely that this economic downturn is going to affect your job there? You're just working the family business. In other words, right now, a lot of people are suffering. Businesses are closing all over town. Are you under threat of that, whether the DREAM Act is enacted or not?
No, I don't believe so. My family business has been there for about 20 years, so I believe it's still running strong, and I don't think there's any reason to believe that our store would close anytime soon.
But whenever there's an economic downturn, immigration is often a big issue. And do you think that's going to affect the possibility that the DREAM Act will be enacted?
Well, even when the economy was good 4 or 5 years ago, it wasn't enacted. So I believe due to the economy, whether it's good or bad, hopefully it's the climate in Congress that will change things and will now look at the economic factors and realizes that there are 1.8 million kids right now, and this number is growing every year. About 65,000 high school students graduate from college, high school, and they can't really go to college. I believe about 1% of those 65,000 can go to college. And so when the economy was good 45 years ago, it still didn't matter.
I'm sure it's a lot rougher for people who don't speak English well.
Well, I would help them anytime if they needed my help.
Now, Devin, how many people did you wind up speaking to as part of your project?
We spoke to about a dozen New Yorkers, people like John. And the thing that surprised me the most, Leonard, was just the resilience. And we've just kind of been hearing this in the face of the recession. Everybody was so optimistic. And obviously, it's a rough time. And some of the stories document that families having to go to food pantries for the first time and whatnot. But
did everybody wind up with some kind of job, or are there people out there who are still looking?
Well, there are a number of people still looking. One of the stories that's featured on the site is about the rising number of New Yorkers who are unemployed and volunteering. While they're on severance packages or while they're looking for jobs or just waiting for things to get better. And I think city agencies in that story have reported a 30% increase in the number of volunteers in New York, which is good for the city.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we invite you to talk about your experience if you've been forced to change careers because of the downturn. Our number here is 212-433-9692. Excuse me. Or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. We're back with our discussion about how people are dealing with the economic downturn. And with me are Devin Dwyer, who is a member of the Columbia Group at Journalism School that has put together DownsizeNYC.com, telling the stories of New Yorkers who have been forced to adjust. Also with us are two of the people profiled, John Walters and Jung Min. And Jung, what do you see as a possibility? Do you think that you'll wind up having to go back to Korea?
No.
I say back to. You left it when you were a year and a half old. I'm assuming you have visited over the years.
I only visited. My visa was for 4 years, so I think I visited when I was five. And I never, after that, if I left, then I'd be barred for about a good 10 years. So I never been back. But there's not a possibility I would go back right now. And
well, what are the options if the DREAM Act isn't passed?
Well, we don't believe it won't be passed. We believe it will be passed soon. The options right now currently for any DREAM Act student is to work in the underground economy or to go back to school and stuff. And so that's what I believe are the options.
And the underground economy, did you speak to other people, Devin, who were forced to go into the underground economy?
We did. A reporter, Jisoo Park, profiled three other Ivy League college graduates who are paying to be in graduate school and are working in the underground economy to make it until the act is passed, and hopefully it will be passed.
And John, do people ever come in, some of your former colleagues come into the restaurant and
it's been
say,
interesting,
what the heck
actually
are you doing here?
Yes, I've had that occur a few times, and it's been pretty funny. And one person who is a photographer for Sports Illustrated, and now he does some stuff for the ESPN, the magazine, he came in, and finally near the end of his meal, I wasn't serving him, and I approached his table, and he said, I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure. And obviously, there's a bit of embarrassment on their side to see me in this position, but they don't understand that I feel completely liberated. I'm happy that there are a lot of people who've lost their jobs. And I just determined myself, I didn't want to be a taker. I wanted to earn my paycheck. I didn't want to collect unemployment.
Why? And you paid for unemployment.
I just feel that we're in a world right now where too many people feel that something's owed them. And I don't want to be one of those people. I understand that I paid for unemployment, but I also understand there's a huge deficit. And I just, at the end of the day, it's not about pleasing anybody. It's about pleasing your inner self. and I feel good that I earn my paycheck and I take care of myself.
This is not a unique sentiment, is it, Devin? Any number of people I've spoken to in the past said that when they were faced with welfare or scraping out a living any way possible, they refused to go on whatever the get some kind of government assistance.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I alluded to earlier with this resilience in people that we've been seeing. I mean, another story on the website about two laid-off New Yorkers who take to become taxi drivers. One of them is a former bank worker. Another one was a real estate broker. And they both refused to go on, government assistance. And they took to becoming a taxi driver, and they found satisfaction in that. And that's a really cool story.
Well, I'm not going to try to encourage cab drivers to give us a call because I know how much I hate it when I'm in a cab and the driver is on the cell phone. But our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. I would think that it would be rough becoming a cab driver because, as I understand, there are more people driving cabs now than ever before, and there are fewer customers. And the fare is just about to go up.
That's right. And, one of the characters in the story Pink Slip, Yellow Taxi, which is on downsizenyc.com, is a woman. And it's not often that you see female taxi drivers around New York City, and she talks about the challenge not only for driving the streets but for getting a shift. Because right now so many of the shifts are being sought after and bid months and months in advance.
How did you and your classmates go about finding people to write about? A lot of people are probably embarrassed to talk about this.
Yeah, I think one of the neat parts of being at journalism school at Columbia is the chance to have a beat and time. I mean, time to develop relationships with sources, to go out on the street, to have these conversations, intimate conversations. And several weeks to go back to them again and again and again.
The funny part was Katerina found me because I was waiting on her. And it was a Sunday afternoon.
And she said, gee, you don't look like a waiter. Well, you look like a guy who used to be at Sports Illustrated.
There are people who have said, you haven't been doing this long, and I guess that means I'm doing a poor job. But she just asked if this place was always so crazy, and I struck up a quick conversation, and she and a friend said, well, we're Columbia grad students in journalism, and I just offhandedly said, that's what I did. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting here across from you.
And the same thing happened with you, Jung?
Well, I think Jisoo found Tam Tran. And since we're all friends with Tam, I think this was an idea that was floated by and how we're really strongly for the DREAM Act and how we could educate people about our situation and our status.
Our number here is 212-433-9692. And Nadja from Hoboken, you're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I actually just wanted to leave a comment about looking into grad school as an option because they're afraid of losing their job. I mean, speaking from experience, I actually work at the New Jersey Immigration Policy Network, and we deal with a lot of issues like this. And then in the nonprofit world, we lose a lot of our funding, and we can probably lose our jobs any second. And for this reason, I'm actually, while doing my job, I'm actually like opening up my LSAT books and like quickly kind of getting these question stems out of the way, because I'm actually also planning to go to law school in fear of losing my job. So I'm trying to juggle both things simultaneously, and I find a lot of my friends are actually doing the same thing.
Do you want to become a lawyer? I would prefer to wait tables.
arguably. No, I mean, it's funny because I didn't always want to do law school, and it's almost like by default, I ended up saying, I guess this is an option, which is not a really good idea. But I think, the more I get into it, the more passionate I get. But it's funny. I guess the recession brings out positive things in someone's career and mind. And so I guess that's the positive.
Are the people, your colleagues at the office, all talking about this? Are they talking about where they might go if they're downsized?
Yeah. Yeah.
In England, they say found redundant, which I always thought was a really interesting way of describing firing somebody.
The funny thing is, somebody had left. One of my colleagues had actually left the state of New Jersey as an employee because of location, the long distance that she had to drive. But now she's in fear of having left state and going to nonprofit was probably, she said the worst mistake she could make because there's a higher possibility that she might lose her job this way. And she already has her master's degree. And it's like, what is she going to do? And she has two kids. And it is it's such a nerve-wracking kind of situation for everybody I know. And she, you know, what she said, I already have my master's degree. I don't have an outlet like you might going to law school, because it's not something she's remotely interested in. So,
John, you wanted to add?
I wanted to add something what the commenter said, and appreciate the call. When she said, when you asked her if she wanted to go to law school, maybe you want to be a waiter, and John here to my right said, not me. I understand that sentiment, but what's very fascinating about this entire dynamic is I got into law school and medical school. There's a bunch of white-collar people who don't appreciate how hard jobs like taxi drivers and waitering is because they've never had to do it or been exposed to it. I have more respect for the managers at the Boat Basin than I do for many of the people I worked with at Sports Illustrated and at NBC Sports. And what's great about this, what's going on right now, is people are being exposed both to the other side. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Well, Devin, what are some of the other things that people are doing other than waiting tables and driving cabs?
Well, they're volunteering, and we've talked a little bit about that already. They're learning how to shop on a budget. One of the videos on the site is called Recipes, and it goes inside a couple of local grocery stores and how you can feed 8 people on $30. But, you know, referring to the caller, too, with people interested in going back to graduate school, I mean, Columbia Journalism School has seen applications up this year alone, I mean, 44%. I mean, that's something that we're, you know, and John just mentioned it, a lot of people are looking to go back and kind of brush up on those skills.
And then fight for jobs in an industry where newspapers are being closed down.
Right.
And magazines are being closed down.
Right.
I waited on a 4 third-year law students about a week and a half ago who had just been convinced they failed their exam. They spent $400 mostly on buckets of Corona beer. I found that very, very interesting myself.
Well, let's talk to somebody who got a law degree. Lucy from Brooklyn. Hi. You're on the show.
Hi. It's kind of interesting to me that the waiter is talking about these Columbia students because people who are 3Ls, who are leaving law school, are being paid to not accept the jobs that they were formerly offered, to hold off for a year, and to get jobs in places for a year in places like the New Jersey Immigration Network, so that they're not on the books of the law schools. The whole legal industry is going through an enormous upheaval right now. Tens of thousands of lawyers have been laid off. The ABA put together some kind of program so that people who work in the top law firms will understand how to identify people who are at risk of committing suicide, and they're giving it away for free because they're concerned about people in the industry. It is not a great time to go to law school. As a matter of fact, when the gentleman who's waiting for the DREAM Act was talking, I was thinking that if he really wants to be a lawyer, what he should probably do is think about going to school in Korea, because it's going to probably be cheaper. He could eventually come back here, or if the DREAM Act is passed, he could eventually come back here, do a 1-year master's degree, and not have $100,000 worth of debt, which is the situation facing a lot of people who are finishing school now.
Devin?
But what's so interesting about that story, the Dream Deferred, is that so many immigrants like Jung were here essentially from when they were born, as you mentioned earlier, Leonard, and they're essentially Americans. It's a very interesting story. Obviously, it's a very hot debate, but they don't have a place to go back to. They weren't raised
many
there.
Many of
don't
them don't even speak the language of their parents' language.
And they can't return easily, And so it is a very interesting story, though, that people are spending the money to go to law school or to public health school or whatever on credit cards. On the video Dream Deferred on the website, people have maxed out 4 or 5 credit cards just to pay 1 month's tuition, and it just blows the mind.
Jung?
You know, and the thing is, my comment is that I'm just like any other American citizen out there, but I just don't have the paperwork. And so my dream and goal is to be here and to contribute back to society. And I've done the waiter thing, too, and I was a pizza man, and I was a flower man, too, and I delivered flowers. And so I've actually been I'm still part of that economy, actually, and my father runs a business, which I run, too. And so this is an opportunity for me to go back and actually use my skills and education. I went to Stuyvesant High School, I went to Mark Twain, I went to college, I graduated magna cum laude. I mean, I want to go back, and I want to become a federal judge, and I believe that's what I want to do right here in the United States.
Well, that's the great difference about what John wants. He's got a passion. He's got something he wants to achieve. What we see too often are people who want to be iBankers. All of a sudden, I have a friend who worked for Lehman Brothers, and she said after Lehman Brothers folded and they went, some people got other jobs, they didn't come to work as early. It wasn't because really when you think about it, what was their passion for too many people? It was simply the paycheck. And that's why, unfortunately, a lot of people think law school is their de facto way out.
Well, John, it pays a lot better than waiting. A couple of listeners have wondered whether you've been able to support yourself.
Very well. I'm working so much I don't have time to spend money. But I actually...
Because I remember once I lost a job and mm-hmm. I just went out and got something. And mm-hmm. I realized after the fact that it actually was paying a little less than my rent. But it was important to me to get up every day and go somewhere. In this case, it was a retail job.
Here's something illuminating for your listeners. My first Saturday at work, where I worked a double shift, I came home with over $500 in tips on one day. So that's...
I'm quitting this job here.
Exactly. And when people hear that, all of a sudden, they wake up a little bit. This wasn't just... I'd gone to this place as a patron for years. I saw how busy it was. I said to myself, wow, I get to work outside. I get to wear shorts and a T-shirt. I get to see a bunch of people who are there to have a good time. And I will make money.
Lori left a comment on our show page. She said, I understand the writer's choice or journey. I, too, went through a period when I left professional administrative work behind and waited tables. After years of dealing with office politics and long commutes and dry cleaning bills, I enjoyed the change. It was honest work. I went home physically tired, but with a clear head and my moral compass intact. Did other people tell you stuff like that, Devin?
Yeah, they did. And I'm thinking of a number of volunteers, just to go off of what John said here. I mean, this idea of having something to wake up to every day and having a purpose in your life and having the opportunity to experience a different line of work. A couple of paralegals in our volunteering story on the website about, they got laid off as paralegals and went to volunteer at a bookstore, at Housing Works Bookstore Cafe in Soho, and have just found it so rewarding to work with people instead of paper.
Let's put another caller on the line. Richard from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Leonard.
Hi, Richard.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
We can hardly hear you, Richard. Could you talk up?
Let me switch to the regular phone. I got you on speaker. Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
I've been a cabbie on and off for years, since about the mid-'80s. I started out in Florida in a small town. I grew up here, and then I moved to Florida in my 20s. Lately, the business has been getting, there are fewer and fewer slots. I've been finding it hard to get any shifts at all except Saturday, Sunday, daytime. And this weekend, in fact, I couldn't even get a cab, and it worked out anyway because I was moving and I was exhausted anyway. But the Sunday before, I actually took home $200.
And, yeah, did anybody want to respond to this?
Well, and that's definitely part of the trend right now. I mean, a lot of laid off New Yorkers are turning to taxi academies. I mean, it is generally a pretty good paying job. But
these days it's kind of rough making a go of it as well. First of all, you got to rent the cab these days. You lease the cab.
You buy shifts.
So you have this big nut that you have to cover, and then you have to hope that you're going to wind up finding an awful lot of passengers on any given night.
And what if you're stuck on 53rd Street between 6th and 7th at 4 p.m.? I mean, that's enough to make me quit that job right there. That's a high-stress job.
Well, I'm glad you made that point. And it's not a high-stress job to be to work as a waiter, obviously. One listener, Chris, said many firms are now downsizing and outsourcing work. I think people want to be lawyers because they still believe they're guaranteed high-paying jobs. It's no longer the case. But, well, good luck in getting into the legal profession, Jung Min. Thank you so much for being with us, John Walters. I'll come by sometime. I'll give you a good tip. And Devin Dwyer, thank you so much for talking to us about DownsizeNYC.com, which is a project that has been put together by Columbia Journalism School students. It's been a lot of fun talking with all of you, and we thank all of our listeners who've called in, and a lot of others have sent in comments this is obviously a big problem for an awful lot of people.